that I would not. I feel good. I knew that I would not. So good, so good. I got to you. Wow, I feel nice. A sugar and spice. I feel nice. A sugar and spice.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to the Mel and Floyd Summer Replacement Show. I'm Mel. Floyd is on assignment, but with us, as always, the man who knows everything, Mr. Smarty Pants.
Howdy.
Knows everything except how to stay awake today.
I'm a little sleepy today.
You're a little out of it.
Yeah, so yeah.
You've been running around all morning.
Yeah. Went out to IKEA. Saw a giant rabbit there. A guy dressed up in an Easter Bunny costume.
Yeah. Was it Sean Spencer?
No. You know, every time I see an Easter Bunny costume, I always think of that. There's no way a child can like look at that and not be horrified, right?
Right.
I've yet to figure out why people continue to do this thing with the Easter Bunny, but I am always reminded of once at Hilldale, they had an Easter rabbit, except they tried to make it like non-denominational. It just it had like a little throne. It just said the bunny on it, like, you know, like, just for some reason there's a rabbit here. I don't know why, you know, guy dressed up in the rabbit costume,
rabbit formerly known as bunny.
Yeah, but companion and I were walking by, and there was no rabbit sitting on the bunny throne, and we thought, well, what's that all about? And we went into the restroom, and he was sitting on the bunny throne in there. We saw these giant feet under the the stall.
He's laying some eggs.
We went in to take a little wee, and we both started laughing because I just had this image of like, well, if he leaves, will there be little pellets in the bowl? You know, I mean, just like.
Does he have the head on?
Yeah, exactly. I didn't see the head anywhere. How did he open the rabbit costume? Every time I think of like the Easter, you know, somebody dressing up as the Easter Bunny, I think of that moment of like, how did that costume exactly work, and why do people do that? I mean, kids look at that and they always scream. Have you ever noticed that?
I mean,
like Santa, that's like grandpa wearing funny clothes or something. But the Easter Bunny, that's like, it's 9 feet tall inevitably, you know.
And well, and the
it
the
looks
face,
like it's going to bite your face.
The face can't, there's no emotion in the face because it's plastic
or
you know, cloth or something.
Right.
So, I mean, it's not like the face can respond to the children, which is how children react, you know. It's like they're really wired toward faces.
The other great Easter memory I have is when I was a kid, my sister and I used to be, we divided everything right down the middle. Like we were very close in age, and we fight over everything. We had, for example, we had airspace in the back seat. Like you couldn't put your hand.
Sure. No fly zone.
No fly zone. Yeah. remember my mother yelling at us, there's no such thing as airspace, you know, because my sister was like, you know, he has his hand in my airspace. It was like one of those YouTube, you know, things that they flew over Russia.
Sure.
But anyway, when I had a birthday, my sister got an unbirthday present because otherwise she'd be upset and vice versa. So when my mother did our jelly beans and our Easter basket, they had to be all the same number and the same color each basket, or else we would pitch a fit. So no wonder my mother was insane.
That does sound like you.
We revved her up for the first 6 or 7 years.
I've never met your sister, but that sounds
like you. She's a little OCD too, actually. Yeah. Actually, well, it's funny. In my family, I have two. I have two sisters, and my younger sister is OCD. It's not just like a speculation. She's being diagnosed.
Mm-hmm.
And my nephew as well, and they take medication for that.
Yeah.
Me, I turned it to something good.
Yeah. What's that?
I'm just a smarty pants. You know?
I've seen the smarty cave. Yeah, you call that good.
Yeah, right.
So, Well, do you ever seen like really old pictures of Easter bunnies, like from the 1920s?
No, no.
They're grotesque. Oh, they're just, oh, you talk about creepy. I mean, it's just like, ah! Same with like old Halloween costumes and stuff. Yeah. The floats, the Macy's floats.
Sure. But everything was creepier back then.
I know.
It was for kids, but it was more like a trial by fire or something. Like, if you get through these ordeals, you will live.
I think that's what childhood was back then.
It certainly was.
Well, look at the playgrounds.
You got the diphtheria, you got the polio, you got the... Wait, we're bringing that stuff back. What, measles?
Yeah, make America great again.
So. I heard actually in Britain, this is amazing, tells you how bad things are there. In Britain, rickets are making a comeback, which is a disease, of course, of malnutrition.
Yeah.
This is supposedly a first world country, but things are they've starved the beast so much there in terms of their spending on social spending and so on. Their economy is so crappy. I heard someone say the other day, and I don't know if this is true or not, but they said that if the United Kingdom were to become like the 51st state, it would be poorer than Mississippi. I have a hard time believing that.
Really?
Yeah,
but it's hard to believe.
Yeah,
they'd at least have like London and all.
Well, they'd have nuclear submarines. Well,
yeah,
I know Mississippi's trying to get those. But
you can get those at the gun shows.
Yeah, I know. Well, I've often thought if you really followed the NRA logic out, neighborhood nuclear superiority would be the end product.
Bazookas, Claymore landmines.
Yeah, yeah. I go halfway on that stuff. Come on.
I'm putting some barbed wire up between my house and the neighbors, I think.
Yeah. Makes sense to me.
I don't want them,
That's the natural denouement, as they say.
Did you see how ridiculous it was this week when the accident happened in Baltimore?
Yeah,
there was all these stupid conspiracy theories that it was like immigrants or affirmative action, DEI.
DEI. What does that have to do with it? What does that mean?
I have no idea. And they even had like some of the right wing people that the mayor of Baltimore made some comments, public comments, and they said, oh, there's a DEI mayor of Baltimore because he's black.
Okay, of course. So that's their new stand-in for words they say to each other, but not out loud.
For the N-word.
DEI
mayor.
Oh,
so,
Lord.
Yeah, he got wind of that and he pushed back on it, which was good. But it's like he got 70% of the vote.
Got your DEI right here.
Plus, Baltimore's, a lot of black people live in Baltimore. So
really?
Yeah.
But what does that have to do with the mayor of Baltimore?
I don't. It's just like you say. It's the stand-in for words, and they shift these all the time. It was critical race theory for a while, and then it was I don't know, but
they don't seem to be saying that one as much.
Because
those products, they get old.
Yeah,
you got to like lemon scent them or something to sell it.
Now with DEI,
now with DEI, exactly. Because you got to keep people wound up.
But there were people. I mean, it was on. And it's the right way. It's like, oh, illegal immigrants did this, or it's like, just shut up. Just live in the real world for a minute.
Well, speaking of this, I mean, this is not directly related, but there was a story this week that I found fascinating. All the conspiracy theories that were swirling around the absence of the Princess Catherine, Princess of Wales, right? And which we now know she's trying to keep it on the down low because she doesn't want to freak her kids out. She's been diagnosed with cancer and she has to have cancer treatment. It turns out they did an analysis of where a lot of this digital disinformation was coming from. And can you guess? That's right. Russia. Russia is just trying to screw with us, basically. And they don't care what it is. So they did this investigation. This was through the University of Cardiff in Wales. And they looked at 45 social media accounts that posted spurious claims about Catherine. And they were directly connected with a different disinformation network that's been linked with the Kremlin, which has also been spreading stories about horrible stories about Volodymyr Zelensky and the French and God knows what else. Anything to get what you want. It's not clear why they went after Catherine, but nonetheless, they did. The Daily Telegraph, which is a conservative paper in London, reported on Sunday that the British officials were worried that that Russia, China, and Iran were spreading disinformation just to destabilize the country. And now there seems to be some evidence that, in fact, at least one of those actors was involved in that process.
Wow. Yeah. Well, it's a cheap way to mess with another country. I mean, you just get a get a troll farm and turn them loose. And
well, it's the same thing with the right wing here. I mean, this is like a common trope across the globe among right wing organizations and nations that want to destabilize and screw up democratic societies, because democratic societies depend on deliberation, open discussion, and accurate information. And the more you can make up crap, and just for the fun of it, but also with a goal in mind, yeah, to destabilize the conversation, then you've won all you need, because mm-hmm. those people will always have power to rule. What they don't want is everybody else getting together. And to get together, you have to talk to each other and share information. Yeah.
I mean, look at the damage they've done with things like the anti-vax conspiracies.
Right.
And even...
Measles, anyone?
Even Donald Trump, you know. I mean, how much damage has that done to our country, the fact that they were able to...
Well, I'm trying to buy one of them gold Bibles or whatever he's selling now.
Three easy payments of $19.99. Yeah, right. And Lee Greenwood's involved, too.
So. The nice thing, you know, if Trump is holding a Bible, it's never been opened, so that's good. You don't have to worry about, like, the pages being wrinkled or anything.
And it kind of proves there's no God, because there's no lightning strikes or anything.
Yeah. It doesn't burst into flames or anything.
But I love how they commingle it with the Constitution.
Oh, well, that's all their thing.
And, you know, so it's crypto-fascism.
Yeah. Well, it's creeped back in. I mean, this is the whole thing about their originalist interpretation of the text, although, of course, that's just a smokescreen, too. They make up whatever they want. But the whole idea is that they treat it like Protestants look at some low Protestants look at the Bible. It's just like this infallible document that can't possibly be wrong. As opposed to when you actually read what those guys were doing, it's like, okay, South Carolina is never going to come along unless we do this, you know, or whatever. I mean, that's how they really wrote the Constitution.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they were people.
It's just a bunch of crap, which they didn't even think was going to last that long. They thought, yeah, we'll change it in 50 years, you know, whatever. We'll let somebody else worry about it.
Right.
But no, here we are still today.
Well, what did John Jay mean by that? Yeah.
John Jay boycotted. He didn't.
Did he?
Yeah.
I didn't know. I just picked the name out of my
brain. Well, actually, the New York delegates never signed it.
Really?
Yep. Alexander Hamilton was the only one of them that did. So he was the only delegate from New York that would sign it. Yeah, the other ones went back home and said, nah, we're not into this.
God, I'm surprised that there hasn't been a movement to kick New York out of the Electoral College.
Ah, from your mouth to Rush Limbaugh's ear, somewhere up in heaven, or down in hell, wherever it is.
Yeah, not up there. A little warmer climate, I think. Well, Sean Hannity is his kind of successor.
Sean was
ranting this week about how the Democrats want to take away your gas stoves, your gas car, meat. They want to break into your house and steal all the meat out of your refrigerator. Steal your refrigerator, probably, and then
steal all your meat.
Steal all your meat. Yeah, they don't want you to have meat anymore.
That's not what I heard the last time I went to the secret cabal. I was talking about the meat issue.
And what else? It was like, I don't know. They're probably going to put efficient light bulbs in your house while you're sleeping or something.
Damn. Light bulbs are so efficient. I was just reading the other day that, you know, the habit that you and I grew up with of turning out the lights when we went from room to room, you know, illumination is costing energy and money and so on. It's like, apparently they're so efficient now that that's really kind of unnecessary.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, if you're not getting a Sean Hannity light bulb,
kerosene powered. Yeah, yeah. Oh, electric cars too. I think I mentioned gas cars, but they're going to force you to drive, you know, electric car that goes 6 miles an hour. So.
The thing that's interesting about their rhetoric that I find absolutely sort of mind-numbing is every time you're allowed to do something, that means that supposedly you must do something, which makes me think that they must believe that their followers are just sheep, right? Because the idea that there's an option to do this, or it's an avenue that's open, obviously means they will do it. That must be done. They interpret ability to do it as a command to do it.
You mean to get an electric car?
You can get an electric car. Wouldn't that be nice? They either think it's so incredibly tempting that a lot of people are going to get it. I assume that's what's going on with the whole gay thing, you know, why they hate that so much.
Well, who wouldn't want all the advantages of being gay? Having people spit on you and beat you up when you're holding hands with your loved one in the street.
Right. But at any rate, but they do seem to understand, like, I mean, the perfect bumper sticker was, you know, don't like abortion, don't have one.
Yeah,
you know, but it's
right.
Like, no, if somebody's doing something, you know, then yeah. That means we're all going to do it.
Yeah.
It's like, no, that's
well, they have this, you know, they always have to put up the straw man. And it's, yeah. You know, right now it's the Democrats. Could be anybody. I mean, but it happens to be the Democrats. And
Trey Bolger.
And he's a great straw man. Not Buddy Ebsen, though.
No.
But there's always kind of this framework that the Democrats are going to force you to do this. There's going to be this
you're the real Nazi.
This regulation, yeah, right. And then they're going to come in and you know, micromanage your life, yeah, right. And make sure you can't, you know, like, right. Swat any mosquitoes in your house or something.
Yeah. On the other hand, you know, if you have a, what was it recently? I just saw this story. The Roku devices. Have you seen this? Roku TV?
No, I've got one.
Oh, did you get the message that you have to? There's a new the message that came on many people's television devices that has an updated terms of service. You probably didn't even look at this. That makes it harder for customers to take legal action against the company.
Sure.
And if you don't do that, then they basically pull the plug on you.
I probably clicked okay.
Yeah, you probably did. You probably did. And of course, this is what I've been worrying about for years. I mean, I still get like DVDs and stuff like that because I don't want somebody hoarding this stuff and telling me, I'm sorry, you don't get it, or we're going to change a part, or we're going to, you know, you don't. I want a physical object because I don't like the idea that this inventory belongs to somebody that,
right.
You know, is going to mess around with it.
On a whim, they could say, no more.
Yeah, so, well, that's basically what's going on with these guys. Plus, at the same time that they're telling this, and I'm sure these are unrelated, they also announced a security breach that involved 15,000 user accounts. So they're worried about the government micromanaging their lives, and yet when it comes to private corporations making their lives a living hell, apparently that's considered completely normal, natural, and I get what we had to put up with to live in this great nation of ours.
I found the story I brought down on Hannity. He says they reject the overbearing Green New Deal regulations. The thing is, Green New Deal did not get passed.
Yeah.
Just like talking points.
It's a trope.
It's a proposal. Yeah. I mean, so.
It's critical race theory.
Yeah.
That's what it is. It's like I got a great name to slap on that thing I hate.
G&D. You know, you got to get an electric vehicle. They want to take away your stove, your refrigerator, your air conditioner. They even want to take away your meat.
Mm-hmm. A lot of those old guys are worried about that.
Yeah. They don't need their meat anymore.
That's why they got their shiny new gun.
I remember when Obama was president, he liked to play basketball.
Yeah, he's pretty good at it.
And this time of year, he'd play with like some of the college kids and stuff. And yeah, he was pretty good at it. And Hannity would poo-poo it. He poo-poos a lot of things.
Yeah.
But usually it takes a couple hours. But,
yeah.
But he was...
No wonder he's so rant-filled.
He is kind of like... Looks like he's full of something.
Yeah, yeah, it's certainly true.
John Stewart used to call him Lumpy, which was like the greatest nickname ever. But I don't know why I happened to see this clip back then when he was complaining about Obama playing basketball and what a sissy sport it was. And how,
basketball?
How he does mixed martial arts. And he went through this.
Sean Hannity does?
Well, that's what he says.
Yeah.
And he was talking about all this incredible workout he does every day and how he, you know, beats up all these, you know, immigrants and stuff. But, I don't know.
Down here at the Republican gym.
But it was just like your basic lying BSer sitting at the bar talking about, you know, how great they were. And it's like, oh, just shut up.
So I'm reading this wonderful new book. Well, it's not actually that new. It came out maybe 2 years ago, 3 years ago, called Grandstanding. It's by a couple of philosophers, ethical philosophers. And they're talking about the whole idea of moralizing every single issue in some tremendous way. And then, you know, and then ramping up your outrage as a result of this, you know, very rigid moral, you know, structure that you've created around some issue. Like the one with the gas stove. And then the gas stove is like, okay, now we know more. about what happens when an old stove starts to fall apart. You know, it creates a lot of carbon monoxide, and there's a lot of, you know, it's unsafe.
And that whole issue.
And that's just a practical concern.
There was no proposal to get rid of it. It was like some person at some agency commenting on exactly what you're saying. Yeah. And it's like, there's things about gas stoves that aren't so great.
And so.
But they extrapolated that.
Right. But everything becomes, it seems like, puts into the category. It's like they look at the entire world through Leviticus. You know, like there's 613 laws, you know, and they involve things like what fabrics you wear and which stove you use and whether you're allowed to drive a Prius or not. I mean, it's like they've reinvented it for the modern age, that if you're going to be on board with their BS, then every single aspect of your life has got a right answer and a wrong answer. There's nothing neutral. There's nothing that's just like a thing, or you do it for practical reasons or because you enjoy it. There's a right answer and a wrong answer. And Sean Hannity, Lumpy, is going to tell you, apparently.
Well, they also I think they're kind of like rage vampires. They get people worked up. They get people angry or aroused in some way or another.
Yeah.
And the, you know, the viewer,
I can't imagine anyone's been aroused.
Well,
by
not that kind of aroused. but you know, people watching that, I think they kind of get a kind of addicted to the little bit of, I don't know if it's dopamine or what you get when you're angry about something, but it's all anger all the time. And it keeps people coming back. I mean, people, there's a reason people are, you know, watch Fox News 16 hours a day.
I have an elderly family member who watches a lot of news TV.
She watches MSNBC.
But she watches MSNBC.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's other options if you want to, you know, drench yourself in the daily outrage. There's other kinds of outrage available. It's a full palette of outrage. I mean, there really is.
I mean, MSNBC does some of the same stuff, but it's also more fact-based. I mean, but I don't think, I don't know, I'm not a fan of any TV stuff like that with the talking heads and the pundits and stuff. It's just, it makes it all into showbiz and pro wrestling and it's like, no, just read about it and read a book.
For example, here's a story from the New York Times. A Tennessee manufacturer has been fined $300,000 for employing children as young as 14 to operate dangerous machinery and requiring them to work more than hours than the law allows, which with a child of 14 is all of them.
But they have those nice tiny little hands that fit into the machinery.
So this is Tough Torque is the name of the...
Sounds like a playground insult.
Name says it all, you Tough Torque. Manufactures outdoor power equipment. And some of its brands that it builds things for are John Deere, Toro, and Yamaha. And so this is the Labor Department. Now, can you imagine? Imagine if the Trump caliphate gets started up next year. You know,
we could have embryos doing that.
Yeah, exactly. Fetal work platoons are in our future. The company also has to set aside $1.5 million in profits related to the employment of the 10 children. Okay, so Sean Hannity, what do you have to say about that? Is he talking about that? No, I doubt it.
Well, nobody wants to work anymore.
So. That money, the Labor Department said, will be used for the benefit of the children who were illegally employed.
Oh, very good.
So,
you know, I worked... It sounds like kind of a similar job. In college when I was...
Oh, okay. You were not 14.
No, I was not 14. I was 19, 20, 21. But for a couple of summers. And that was hard work.
Sure.
And it was pretty brutal. I mean, and the regulars, the people who worked there permanently.
Sure.
A lot of them were missing, like, you know, fingertips and stuff like that. So, I mean, it's not safe work.
My mother used to work at a factory where they had a punch press, and she
had punch presses.
Yeah,
they were the worst.
She was very good. It was piecework too.
Yeah.
So she was one of the few people that was nimble enough to actually do it without damaging her hands in any way. But there were tons of people there because, of course, the piecework incentivized them having as many
being fast as
really fast
and careless.
And Well, you just get tired after a certain point.
Right. No, it's seriously. Everybody had some. Who worked there full time had some kind of you know, one woman broke her thumb one time when the press came down on her thumb. She was not the brightest bulb. Mm. She was happy because she was getting paid then for, like, you know, on a workers' comp or something.
And wow.
It's like, no, you just fractured your thumb. That's not a good thing.
Well,
but
it's free money.
I guess.
Hey, a majority of Americans are disappointed.
In what?
At Israel. Israel's military actions in Gaza. And this is a big shift from just as recently as November. This was according to a new poll that was released by Gallup on Wednesday. So the survey was conducted between March 1st and March 20th. And in this poll, they discovered that 55% of U.S. adults said they disapproved Israel's military actions, which is a jump of 10% from just 4 months ago. Americans' approval of Israel's conduct in the war dropped by an even bigger margin from about 50%, so we're looking half and half, a month after the war began, to 36% in March. And this is just the latest evidence of a lot of people being very unhappy with what Israel is doing over the last 5 months or so. By the best estimates, about 32,000 Palestinians have been killed in Gaza, and of that population, nearly 14,000 were children. This is according to the United Nations.
Here's my quote of the week. Are you ready for my quote of the week?
Please.
This is from Laura Trump.
Oh, you know it's going to be edifying.
She's now in charge of writing checks from the RNC lawyers.
Right. Yeah.
Mostly.
But, platoons of lawyers, yes.
Laura Trump says, "I'm here to assure people who ever had any question as to how their money is being spent."
Oh, yeah.
"Trust me, I'm the daughter-in-law of Donald Trump."
It's all about audience, isn't it? Because, you know, there's going to be some people that hear that and are like, oh, yeah, you bet.
If you can't trust the Trump.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, who can you trust?
For the other 70% of us, it's utterly risible.
Oh. Here's some good news. The Biden administration yesterday restored rules to protect imperiled species and shield their habitat from destruction after the measures had been rolled back under former President Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Among the changes, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service will reinstate a decades-old regulation that mandates blanket protections for animals and plants newly classified as threatened. That means officials won't have to craft specific plans for each individual species, mm-hmm. which is a big deal. Because that's one way they drag this out. You know,
sure.
It's like, oh, you have to do this a million times, and we're going to...
It's all delay. Everything's delay.
And we're going to appeal this a million times.
That's their tactic, Yep. Hey, I want to just mention, you talked about Trump, and mentioned that, of course, he's selling the Bible earlier in the show. I think the funniest thing I heard about this, and I looked this up, and it was really fascinating, is I think it was Colbert, one of the late-night comedians, commenting on, you really should look into this book because it tells you a lot about what you're getting with Trump. And so I looked up, Trump as the Antichrist on YouTube, and there's a bunch of people that are basically here's the line, how it lines up, you know, perfectly, point by point. And I thought, wow, is that where we are? Okay. So in this Easter season, you might want to consider that. How does it line up, Trump and the Antichrist?
Well, that's the best part. He started doing this on Holy Week, you know.
Yeah.
Lee Greenwood Bible.
Yeah.
Support for abortion is at a high, actually. A record 59% of surveyed Americans believe abortion should be legal, according to a new Fox News poll.
Interesting.
I know. Support for abortion rights has increased by double digits since early of 2022.
It's funny we take things away from people they tend to notice.
Yeah. The same Fox poll a couple of years ago had it at 54%, so it's gone up 15% in 2 years. And, you know, and this is a Fox poll, so it's probably skewed in some way.
Yeah,
too,
it's
so.
Probably even bigger than that.
Yeah.
Right? By the way, I just want to mention that Apple and Meta were told by the European Union on Monday that they're under investigation for a range of violations of the European Union's competition law.
Hmm.
It's funny how we believe in the free market in the United States until you become a multi-zillionaire, and then for some strange reason you don't anymore. These are the first inquiries that regulators have announced since the Digital Markets Act took effect back in the beginning of the month, March 7th. And this is a pretty intense signal that the European Union is not screwing around with this. They're going to enforce their competition rules. So last week, you may remember, the Justice Department sued Apple for breaking antitrust laws in the U.S. So it looks like people are starting to catch up with the fact that this is not a competitive industry.
Mm-hmm. Well, I bet Tim Apple's worried.
Who?
You know, that Tim Apple.
Tim Apple guy.
From Apple.
Yeah. Because I would always name something after myself, so why wouldn't everybody else?
Good point.
I mean, that's how that mighty brain works. I mean, come on.
Man, person, camera, me.
Yeah, me. Me.
Hey, you're listening to the Mel and Floyd Show here on WORT 89.9 on the FM. You might be listening on the internet at WRTFM.org, or you could be listening in the future because we put this show and all of our shows up on the archives page. And thanks to our pal Mindless Minion D-Cubed, these shows are available through Spotify or yep. Apple Pods or whatever they call it nowadays, and or wherever you get your pods. So thanks, D-Cubed.
Yeah, I was just talking with a fan last week who listens on Spotify and says he always intends to listen while we're on the air. I don't know why that would be important, but says he does, but he always ends up listening to it on Spotify. So thanks, D-Cubed,
excellent,
for that.
We're going to take a brief break, play some announcements, and then stick around. We've got a big giveaway coming up right after the announcement. So, okay, we'll be right back.
WORT's listener sponsors and Isthmus Newspaper. Isthmus is back on newsstands the first Thursday of every month, and now a nonprofit. Isthmus continues to expand its independent coverage of local government, the arts, and all things Madison at isthmus.com.
WORT thanks its listener sponsors and the Wine and Hop Shop, located at 1919 Monroe Street, specializing in home brewing and winemaking supplies for over 40 years. Open to in-person shopping or order online for curbside pickup, in Madison delivery and shipping of supplies at wineandhop.com.
The 2024 Wisconsin Film Festival is coming to Madison Thursday, April 4th through Thursday, April 11th. This year's festival boasts over 140 films of all shapes and sizes, including the best cinema has to offer from all over the world and right here in Wisconsin. We've got experimental, animated, and student films, as well as documentaries, restored classics, films for kids, and more. For the first time in years, we'll be returning to both the Bartell Theater and the Barrymore Theater. Plus, we've expanded on the UW campus into Music Hall, and we are heading east to Flick's Brewhouse at the Easttown Mall. The Wisconsin Film Festival curates, promotes, and exhibits programs that showcase the art of cinema. A complete festival guide is available in the March issue of Isthmus and online, and tickets are available at wifilmfest.org. The 2024 Wisconsin Film Festival is coming to a screen near you, Thursday, April 4th through Thursday, April 11th. Helping keep local arts alive for almost 50 years, this is WORT Madison.
You wake up to the 8 o'clock buzz to get the week started.
Now, we need the help of a good volunteer to run our on-air operations each Monday.
Sure, that means waking up a little earlier.
To get to the station around 7:30.
But that's why WORT has coffee.
So that you can start your week off right.
WORT is recruiting a volunteer to run the soundboard each week on Monday mornings from 7:30 to 9 a.m.
You'd run all on-air operations for our morning program, The 8 O'Clock Buzz with Brian Standing.
No experience is necessary, but a familiarity with computers and a strong sense of punctuality and reliability are preferred.
For details, call 608-256-2001 and ask to speak with Shali Pittman.
Or head online to WORTFM.org/volunteer to fill out our volunteer application.
Hi, I'm Mel from The Mel and Floyd Show. Come on down and join Floyd and me Friday, April 5th from 1 to 2 for our annual Wisconsin Film Festival live show. This year we'll be broadcasting from the Bartell Theater, 116 East Mifflin Street. We'll be interviewing our usual assortment of interesting people from the fest, including directors, actors, writers, people from the craft services table, and if we have some time to fill, maybe some interesting looking passersby. We'll cover raging film controversies such as popcorn, butter or no butter, seating, center or aisle, and how to properly shush a loud patron. Heady stuff? It certainly is. Yes, it's going to be quite the wild ride indeed. So let's all go to the lobby. Come join the fun with Mel and Floyd at the Bartell Theater Friday, April 5th from 1 to 2 for our annual Wisconsin Film Festival remote broadcast.
And we're back. Did you like that?
Yes, I quite enjoyed it. Unfortunately, I will not be there.
I know,
and I just want to do a little plug for my event, if I may. You are invited. This, if you have some time on Friday, the April 5th, come on over to the Edgewood College campus on 100 Edgewood College Drive. It's right off of Monroe. And there's a conference there. It's called Resource Wars, Conflict and Peace Building in a World of Environmental Challenge. There's no registration fee, and lunch is included. Starts at 9 o'clock and goes till 4, so you can just dip in if you like. There's going to be students and activists, academics, community members from all around the state talking about peace building, environmental equity in a post-colonial world, faith-based responses to climate change, and a lot more. So if you'd like to spend an hour or two, maybe, listening to some folks who are doing some excellent work in the area of peace building around the environmental challenges we're facing, come over to Edgewood College on Friday, April 5th. And you know what? You can also do the Mel and Floyd thing. So
yeah,
whatever you like.
We'll all work together.
We're all working together here.
All right. We actually have something. We have a little giveaway here. No, don't jump the gun yet here.
I will not.
Not to explain. Well, I'm talking to the minions out there.
Oh, okay.
They're notorious gun jumpers.
Okay.
So.
Right.
But we're giving away a Wisconsin Film Festival, a little gift package here. It's a gift. It's a blanket with the festival logo, a set of pins, film festival pins, and a festival magnet. Now, don't get the magnet wet, because they don't work when they're wet, as you remember Donald Trump explained to us. So, all right, we're going to give this away to the first caller starting now, 256-2001. You get a...
What's the number?
608-256-2001. Only the first caller, so it's probably going to go pretty fast. But you get a nice little film festival blanket and
is it just swag?
Pins?
Is that what we got there?
It is swag. Right here.
Oh, very nice. Oh, that is nice. Oh, my heavens. Look. Oh, it's fuzzy.
It is fuzzy. It's
wow,
sweet.
That's really nice. It's a blanket. Hence, 256-2001, area code 608. Give us a call.
Usually we're bleeding you, but now we're giving
you
something.
Yeah, we're giving you stuff. We're begging you to do it, too. You better do it fast or I'll take it.
Yeah.
This is nice. Has someone called in?
I don't know. Probably. They go pretty fast when you give stuff away, you know.
Yeah.
Those, you know, a blanket for our listeners. I mean, they could. They.
An old rutabaga. It's free.
I think Ruby was going to handle the calls. So,
oh, excellent.
So maybe
good.
She'll pop in and let us
all
know.
All right. Let us know what's going on. So,
Republican Governor Glenn Youngkin
vetoed
two top Democratic legislative priorities on Thursday.
Okay.
It would have allowed the recreational retail sales of marijuana to begin next year and measures mandating a minimum wage increase.
Hmm.
So even though, again, the state is firmly in favor of both of those things, the governor vetoed those. Surprise.
Now, you often say, Mel, that the young people, they're our future. And
I never say that. the young people terrify me.
I got three interesting and kind of sad stories here about the youth of our nation, this nation in decline. You probably remember that, in fact, I think you did the story that this year, as often the case, Finland tops the annual World Happiness Report. Yes. And this report was compiled annually by a consortium of groups that includes the United Nations and Gallup. And the United States was really far down on that. Well, there's a reason for this, it turns out. It's because people who are young in the United States are incredibly, incredibly unhappy.
Mm.
So it's, it turns out that angst
They should smile more.
Angst among the youth has knocked us out of the top 20 in the happiness report.
Is there an app for that?
According to Dr. Lorenzo Norris, he's an associate professor of psychiatry at George Washington University. I should run for president. The literature is clear in practice. The effect that this has had on socialization, pro-social behavior, talking specifically about the internet, if you will, and the ability to for people to feel connected and have community has been diminished. Many of the things that would normally take place for young people, especially during high school, did not take place. And, of course, this was only intensified by the pandemic. According to a novelist, Jade Song, who counted herself among those who become increasingly unhappy in recent years, it's mostly because as an adult, you suddenly become aware of all the world news and you pay attention more to what you want to control and you realize that you have so little control. You feel a little bit like that sometimes.
I do.
We all do, actually.
Been struggling with that a lot lately.
You young people are ahead of the curve on that one.
Yeah. So I've been depressed for 50 years. I mean, so there's Ruby.
I'm not going on.
You're not going on the air? Okay.
How do we pronounce this name, Ruby?
Anik, I think.
Okay. So the winner is Jason Anik. It's A-N-I-C-H. And Jason gets the swag.
Gets the film festival blanket and the not wet magnets and the pins.
Yep.
This is his first time ever winning. Long
Woo! Way to go!
Wow.
Congratulations!
All right. So, this is the peak. Coming. The peak of your life right now.
We're actually gonna
you're a winner.
We're actually gonna send it out too. You don't have to come down and get it.
Oh really? Oh my heavens!
Yeah,
that's bizarre.
We never do that. So.
All right. This is special.
Yeah.
So congratulations, right. Jason. It's all downhill from now.
Thanks to everybody who called in.
At least according to the young people. Here's another one, another story that's related here. Colon cancer is rising in young Americans. What is happening? That would make me unhappy too, actually. Colorectal cancers are, you know, typical of people who are older. And I would encourage you, by the way, if you're in your 50s, to have a test for that.
Sure. Go to Roto-Rooter.
Your little Roto-Rooter will do it. Yeah. Any plumber, any qualified plumber can
get
do that
snake
for you.
Out.
Yeah, it looks like we need a snake for this one. No, but it's surprising. Nothing to joke about. Apparently, that's up about 2% of early onset colorectal cancers. And people are trying to figure out what it is. There's lots of different theories. Some of them have to do with diet, which, the things that people are able to eat and are readily available get worse every year. Some of it has to do with concern about certain kinds of heavy metals and so on that we find more and more distributed through our environment. And, of course, a lot of it, as you will probably not be surprised to find out, also has to do with race and sex.
Mm.
Environmental exposure by geography, by race, and by sex to various toxic chemicals in the environment also seems to be directly correlated with early colorectal cancer.
It's amazing that being poor is such a hit. I mean, you get... You know, you get the crappiest water. You get don't have access to a good grocery store.
Sure,
you don't get access to good health care. I mean, it's
who would
just,
guess that being poor was bad?
I know, and it's stressful as hell.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
depressing.
Oh my God! And it seems like those are problems we could easily alleviate.
Although in my family, you know, one of the things it did, it made us more nimble, I think, because trying to figure out how to hide from the landlord was a
thing. Yeah, sure.
Moved a lot. You know, that was, I think that put a lot of meat on our bones.
Yeah,
you know, just kind of,
good. Yeah.
You know, moving every month or so.
Yeah, my family moved a lot too, but I always found them.
You say that actually happened to me. My family used to oscillate back and forth when the bills got too big, they would move from Eastern Kentucky to Columbus, which is where all the hillbillies go. Right?
Yeah, sure.
That's why Ohio's a red state now. But at any rate, and one time I was away at university and I was about to come home for Thanksgiving and I kept calling my parents.
Oh my
God. You know, I'm coming home. And it was like the day before. And of course, I was going to take the bus, you know, take the Greyhound. The day before I left, my mom finally called me and said, "Well, we're not living in our house anymore. We're living in somewhere else," you know. And then I had this image of like the phone ringing and it was just sitting out in the middle of the forest or something, you know, like this phone just sitting there all that time. Hey, here's another little story, but my last young person story. They've done, you know, people like the smell of children, like when they're little. Like,
yeah, sure.
People say babies smell good.
Yeah.
Little kids smell good. And so turns out that's not true for adolescents. And and if you've ever been an adolescent or had an adolescent child, you know this. And so there's some apparently some researchers who just thought they'd look into it. And you will not be surprised, by the way, that this is a university in Germany, University of Erlangen-Nuremberg.
They probably have a word for stinky teenagers.
Stinky teenagers, no doubt. But they looked into it, and they discovered that looking at you know, body odor comes from a lot of things. Comes from what's in your sweat. It comes from what's the sebum that accumulates on you, the waxy buildup on your face, and so on. They figured out after comparing this with other scents from other creatures that the just the exact right combination of sort of sweat and urine and sort of cheesy and musty, that they smell most like goats. So if you have an adolescent at home or are an adolescent, just be aware that science, German science, has proven that you smell most like a goat.
And that makes sense because goats are often associated with Satan.
Yeah, exactly.
And teenagers pretty much are Satan. So.
There you go. So it all works out.
Yeah. So there was this Michigan State Representative. He's a MAGA guy, of course.
His
name is Matt Maddock. MAGA Matt Maddock.
Oh.
And he was concerned.
Yeah.
He posted a photo of a plane landing at Detroit Metro Airport.
Okay.
And then speculated it was filled with migrants who had been shipped from the southern border up to the state.
I see.
He was especially annoyed that the, quote, invaders in question were getting a special police escort.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote, "Happening right now, 3 buses just loaded with illegal invaders at Detroit Metro. Anyone have any data where they're headed with their police escort?" You know what it was?
I can't imagine.
The Gonzaga basketball team was in town for the NCAA tournament.
Oh, no. Oh, man.
Jesuits are coming.
We see what we want to see.
I guess.
Here's a bright piece of information
I
have to share with everybody. Just this week, Thailand's House of Representatives overwhelmingly passed a bill that would legalize same-sex marriage in Thailand.
Wow.
And it wasn't a close one either. The bill passed by a total of 400-10. There's a few abstentions, but that's pretty good.
Wow.
400-10. And if the king approves it, which he's very likely to do, Thailand will become the first nation in Southeast Asia to recognize same-sex marriages. Wow.
I'm really ignorant on this. Is there like a cultural bias against that?
No, it's one of the most, actually, it's one of the most open places in the world to things like this. But they've just never sort of gotten it over the hump in in terms of passing a law. I mean, there are conservative elements, of course, in their culture and so on. But nonetheless, it's a pretty open place.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought.
The amendment of this law is for all Thai people. It is the starting point to create equality, said Danaforn Punakanta, who is a lawmaker who chairs the Committee on Marriage Equality. "We understand that this law is not a universal cure to every problem, but is at least the first step towards equality society." So.
A Georgia Republican official who pushed false claims that the 2020 election was stolen was found to have voted illegally 9 times, according to a judge.
He's just trying to, you know, push back against the deluge.
Well, if they're going to cheat, I'm going to have to cheat, too.
Well, that's why you make up stuff like that. They're out to get us, so we got to get them first. That's what Sean Hannity, I mean, you mentioned him earlier. That's his whole shtick. they're going to do this. They're going to make this happen. So you have to, that every bad thing that people have ever done is because they say somebody else has either done something terrible to them or is about to do something terrible to them. That's how you feel like you're the moral person,
yeah,
because you can always blame the other guy.
Right.
So, yeah. We're going to cheat. It's because you guys are cheating harder.
Got an email from a longtime listener, Tall, and said, this article needs your commentary. Now, there's a story in, it's from Duluth. So
okay.
With my, you know, I lived there a little while.
Yeah.
A long time ago. But yeah. But
you that goat-like smell.
That's why they kicked me out. But there's a woman from the Cargill family.
Okay, yeah, that's the big agricultural processing.
Yeah, yeah, she's a billionaire. Cargill was started like around 1850. 50 or something.
Okay.
So she's, I don't know what generation that would be.
So that fortune's been snowballing for a while.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So she's a billionaire. And she's been, there's this stretch in Duluth called the Point. It's like this long sandy point that kind of sticks out into Lake Superior a little bit.
Yeah,
and, and there's a bunch of older houses there. A lot of, you know, it's Duluth. There's going to be a lot of older houses. She's been buying up these old houses at way over market price. I mean, like paying $500,000 for you know, something that's probably worth
starting
to
sound like Madison.
Half of it. And then she's gonna she's been buying up tons of these, like I don't know how many, 20 or 30 or something like that. And people have been asking, well, what are you planning? What are you going to do? You know, because I mean, people, it's a neighborhood. People live there and stuff. Mm. And she said, well, it's none of your business. Mm. I'm not going to tell you. Mm. And so it's ticked off a few people, and the mayor's, you know, kind of pushed back on it a little bit, and then she got kind of stinky about it and said, "Well, I was going to donate all this money so you could build some, you know, sports facility and some pickleball courts, but I'm not going to do that now because you peed in your Cheerios." And
that's a lovely vulgarism.
Yeah. So, but I mean, the fact that she's buying all these up and paying way over, you know, what she wants to pay, she obviously has something in mind here, but you know. Why keep it a secret? She's a billionaire. She doesn't want people she shouldn't have to explain herself.
Yeah, she shouldn't have to. And people might get organized.
Yeah,
you know, and
yeah.
ask some questions.
Right.
I mean, this is my pals that live in Kauai, you know, the northernmost island in Hawaii. And Zuckerberg is just buying up everything.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And they're kind of like, well, what's it? And apparently some of the stuff I've read in the last month or so is that he's making a compound there, so you know, when the billionaires when the mutants take over the world and the billionaires have to, like, you know, retreat, he'll have a place to go
his
to
Soylent Green factory,
yeah,
or
apparently. Yeah, it's kind of like, I mean, there was a thing this week, and I don't have the story right in front of me, but I was amused by the fact that there was a developer here in town who wants to knock down a bunch of buildings downtown. And they were kind of like, well, we need more information before we just let you do that. And he says, I'm going to go to court because this is so unfair.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, maybe it would be nice. I mean, tons of people moved to Madison because they thought it was attractive. You know, I mean, like, it's in a nice town, you know. I mean, could we save a brick or two of what it used to look like? I mean, just a couple, you know, just to see what it looks like or used to look like. These buildings are built apparently in the 1890s or something like that. But the guy's response was how unfair it was.
Yeah.
I mean, we're writing.
It's kind of like the Cargill.
Yeah, we're writing blank checks to you to do whatever the hell you want. Yeah. I mean, come on. Whatever.
Yeah. Well, the Point is a nice place. It's you know, you got a really beautiful view of Lake Superior there, but it's cold as hell. I mean, the wind is always blowing there. I used to play softball and volleyball up there, and I mean, it was freezing in the, you know, in June and July because the wind was just bitter.
Well, you want to worry that about that much longer, so
yeah. Well, that's true. Well, it'll be underwater
As the hardiness zone, you know. Changes.
Yeah, but this is it's pretty shallow.
Is
it'll be underwater if we get, you know, Lake Superior gets any bigger, but they were going to drain Lake Superior anyway.
Oh yeah,
so
they send it down to Arizona, Phoenix. I think
that's part of the master plan.
Yeah,
there. But it's a nice place. I'd hate to see it turned into whatever Cargill world.
Yeah, it's going to be a compound. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. So, well, it's perfectly isolated because you have to go across the lift bridge to get there.
She's probably going to buy up all the land she can on the on the U.S. side around Lake Superior.
Yeah, and just declare Cargill world or something.
Right, exactly.
But the fact that she was so stinky about, you know, not wanting to even talk to any of the locals about what was going on. You know, really rubbed a lot of people the wrong way.
So. I have another positive story I just want to share.
Yes.
Many people may have heard this, but I just want to, I'm kind of glorying in this. There was a special election on Tuesday for a state house seat in Alabama.
Oh, yeah.
And a woman by the name of Marilyn Lands, who was a Democrat and who was campaigning on access to abortion, she defeated her Republican opponent, a person by the name of Teddy Powell, by 25 percentage points.
In Alabama?
In Alabama, yeah. And as she had run back in 2022, and she'd lost by 7 points. And this time she won by 25 points.
Wow. Is this a state?
It's a state job. Yeah, state. It's a their
state
House of Representatives.
Their assembly version, or whatever.
Yeah. According to Ms. Lance, who's a licensed counselor, she said, "Today, Alabama women and families send a clear message that we heard in Montgomery and across the nation. Our legislature must repeal Alabama's no exceptions abortion ban and fully restore access to IVF and support the right to contraception."
Oh, very cool.
Contraception is going to be next, everybody.
Well, definitely.
You haven't guessed already.
Contraception and marriage equality.
Yeah.
They're going to go for a twofer.
That's what I said that when this companion said, what are we going to do when the Trump caliphate begins? And I thought, I'm stealing that line.
Mike Lindell's MindPillow is getting evicted.
MindPillow!
It's getting evicted from one of its Minnesota warehouses.
Oh, well.
Down in Shakopee.
Yeah.
Down Shakopee there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So the landlord said the MyPillow has more or less vacated, but we'd like to do this by the book. They hadn't been paying their rent for a few months. And Mike Lindell, when asked about that, he said, well, we thought that would make it easier on the landlord.
Oh, yeah, okay.
By not paying the rent.
All that difficult accounting they have to do.
filthy money they'd have to deal with.
I got to tell you something funny. This is a little bit too much maybe of a window into my personal life, but I'm teaching a class on business ethics. And the first thing I always have my students do is write an essay on the morality of capitalism. There's some pretty, you know, intelligent critiques of capitalism. Mm, sure. And what I find, first of all, there's 8 students in this class. It's like a seminar class for grad students. And this is a good group. They're all like, capitalism stinks, right? But the one that I thought was most amusing is a student who's studying to be an accountant. He's getting a degree in accountancy. And he's pretty much a socialist as far as I can tell. And I'm like, okay, well, why do you have that view? You know, I'm not trying to advocate a view. I'm just trying to get them to defend their view. My job as a teacher is to help with that. And he goes, I look at and prepare income tax returns for rich people for a living. That's why I want socialism. And I thought, wow, down there in the belly of the beast.
Wow. Oh, that's funny. So do people ever cheat in your ethics class?
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, I have them read, they have to read papers and then defend them in the class. So it's hard to do
hard
that
to cheat,
if yeah. you, yeah, if you've got a robot.
Can't have the chat bot do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, if you, unless your robot is there with you, you know, to answer the questions, it's a little difficult to do.
But
that,
you take a hammer to their phones and everything when they come in.
Yes, that's true. I do have rules about that. Yeah. If they have, it's information dead zone is what I say. It's an information dead zone.
Yeah.
Including what I'm providing. So. Hey, I want to just mention, speaking of economics, that Daniel Kahneman passed away this week. He was 90. He's the guy that was he's been called by some people the father of behavioral economics, the idea that people actually are pretty crazy when there's not, this supposition in among economics professors that there's somebody who's an ideal rational agent is totally bogus. And we have all kinds of little kinks and weird ways that we make decisions based probably on shortcuts that our animal ancestors evolved.
That reminds
time.
Me, I got to buy some more of that Trump stock. That came out this week.
Yeah, so he called these kinks, the little things that our brains do that make us, make sometimes crazy decisions. But we have a lot of loss of aversion, which makes total sense. And once we have something, we just don't like to get rid of it.
Sure.
He and another fellow who worked with him for many years, a man by the name of Amos Tversky, he was a cognitive psychologist at Stanford. They won a Nobel Prize back in 2002. And the book that he's most known for is Thinking Fast and Slow, which posits that there's one way we have of thinking, which is slower and deliberative, and one way that we have of thinking, which derives, again, sort of from our animal ancestors, which is quick, intuitive, and sometimes mistaken about important things. And his book has been compared in terms of its impact on how we understand ourselves to the Wealth of Nations and Sigmund Freud's interpretation of dreams. No, so he died. He was 92.
Wow. So, all right, we got to get out of here. Time to make room for the kiosk and then the Who Cooked for You with Real Jaguar. So yeah. Time to declare the weekend. Enjoy the weekend and come visit us next week at the Bartell Theater. Floyd and I will be down there with our annual film festival show. Ruby will be on hand. She's producing the show. But so come
I will
on,
not be there, and
you,
I'm
you
sorry.
You unfortunately can't be there.
But I'll be doing some other important things, yeah. And I wish you well and hope things are nice. So, hope you don't have anybody too crazy there.
We walked through the theater last week. It was really nice. It's nice space. I got the little theater bug again. We should go back and do some more plays or something.
Yeah.
That'll go away.
Yeah.
I'll lay down until that goes away. So. Hey, it's 2:00. Pants, it was great to see you. We'll see you in a couple weeks. It's 2:00. You're listening to WRT 89.9 FM, Madison.
This is the Insurgent Radio Kiosk for Friday, March 25th.
If you're concerned about fossil fuels and climate change, consider an energy source that, according to its backers, will make everyday living comfortable and healthier. What is this miraculous substance? Oil. Huh? Yes, that filthy scourge of our planet and health is being ballyhooed as our globe's energy and environmental salvation. By whom? Of course, the American Petroleum Institute, the powerhouse lobbying front for ExxonMobil and other petro-profiteers. API recently bragged that it will pour tens of millions of dollars into a PR blitz during this year's presidential election to demonize clean energy sources and demand that government promote more fossil fuel production. API's campaign slogan is Lights on Energy, but the luminosity of its media message is mighty dim. Start with the fact that Big Oil has zero public credibility, having routinely gouged us on prices for years and knowingly lied to us for decades about not causing climate change. Second, the demand by oil barons that government quit intruding into the free market is a whiny embarrassment. Hello, for more than a century, oil corporations have gorged on billions and billions of dollars in taxpayer handouts. And they are in line to keep getting $2.5 billion a year in corporate welfare for the next decade. Didn't their mamas ever teach them not to talk with their mouths full? Also pathetic is their partisan wail that President Biden is restricting their production and profits. Hello again. U.S. oil production reached a record high last year. Big oil's profits are soaring, and they're now jacking up our gas prices again. Meanwhile, 2023 was the hottest year our globe ever recorded. This is Jim Hightower saying, let's reflect the heat back on these greed heads. For facts and action items, go to fossilfreeforhealth.org. The Hightower Radio Lowdown is made possible by you subscribers to Jim Hightower's Lowdown on Substack. Find us at jimhightower.substack.com.
Youth ages 18 and under are encouraged to submit to the Madison Public Library's We Read Youth Voices Writing Contest. The theme for the 2024 Writing